Hello and welcome to I Want What She Has, your weekly antidote to the patriarchy, amplifying women's voices and their stories. I'm your host, Teresa Widman, and happy spring. Spring equinox was yesterday, and for those of us in the Northern Hemisphere, it ushers in the season of spring, which, according to Warren, I heard him say it earlier, is the most popular season. And so hopefully that means folks are excited for spring to be arriving. And I thought, I was inspired by an article that I read recently in The New Yorker titled Getting Rid of It. And I just, as soon as I read it, I felt like I wanted to share it on the radio. And it is all about decluttering, or in other words, spring cleaning, perhaps. And so I am going to share from that article today as a little spring themed show. And I also thought I would share from my favorite astrologer, Tanaz from Forever Conscious, who I read from all of the time, to share what she has to say about the equinox and the ushering in of Aries season. So that's what I'm going to do today on the show. It's just me sharing some little tidbits with you. And I should, well, I guess I'll preface it now and I'll say it again later. I am not the best spring cleaner. I have way more things than I need in my house. I don't take the time to declutter often. Everything is nicely organized, but it is just much more than I need. And so for those of you who are experts at this, you might roll your eyes at some of the no-brainer things that I'm going to share today. But for those of you who might be like me, where you need some inspiration, then this show is going to provide some of that for you, hopefully. So I'll talk more about that later, about some of the things that I uncovered. But maybe it makes sense for us to just start out the show with sharing what Tanaz has to say about the equinox. The equinox for me has always been a special time. I used to do workshops always. I love the idea of balance, balancing light and dark, balancing anything. And I did actually, oddly enough, maybe not so odd, read something on social media about how balance is a myth and how it's setting up this false standard to strive for, basically. And so that for those who might be feeling out of balance, this idea of balance can make you feel maybe shameful or less than, etc. This conversation is not meant to do that. I don't think anyone who's talking about balance would ever intend that to be a result. But to me, it's just an awareness, right? It's probably most difficult to achieve perfect balance. But there are ways that we can look at our life and see where it's out of balance. It just takes some attention and it takes some effort. It's going to be easier for some people than others. And so I don't want to make it sound like it's just a piece of cake, but I do like the idea of reconnecting with the idea of balance and trying to strive for it if that is something that you wish for in your life. So Tanaz writes here that the energies of the equinox were said to be a magical time where harmony fell on the planet and where we could embody an equal balance of dark and light. Just like a yin and yang symbol, we can't have one without the other. We need darkness to see the light, and we need the light to recognize the darkness. I'll just add here, personally, there is a lot of talk about the shadow, which is often equated with darkness, and sometimes is given a negative quality or feels like a negative. And I don't believe that that's the case. I've probably talked about it before. Really, it is just that which is not revealed. It's not easy to see. And so when we think about balance, we think about the balance between dark and light. It really is an awareness that that exists. It always exists. We can't see everything. But to do our best to just recognize both qualities in our life. She continues, the equinox is about honoring both of these qualities that live within our shadow and our divine light. It is about acknowledging that working with this duality is part of the journey of our soul that our souls take here at Earth School. Our earthly experience is so complex that it allows us to experience pain, trauma, and grief, but also love, beauty, and kindness. It is moving through the dark and the light that we are able to grow and create deeper meaning. Perhaps it is transversing these states that ultimately allows us to lead a richer life. For the 2022 equinox, we have zero major planets in retrograde motion. This means we have some strong forward-moving energy for getting things done and making progress. Think about what you wish to move forward with in your life and get to work on taking action. The winds of the universe will carry you swiftly, higher, and faster. You just have to take that first step. All of this forward-moving energy supported by the beginning of a new zodiac cycle is also our reminder from the universe to keep the past in the past. This is our chance to look forward into the future and what we can do with where we stand today. If you feel called, this time of the year is also beneficial for reflection and for bringing closure to the last 12 months. Be proud of yourself for dealing with any changes or upheavals to your life, and look for ways that you can bring more ease, peace, and acceptance into your heart. The map of the stars at the moment of the equinox can reveal what is in store for us for the astrological year ahead. And if you want to look into that, she has an astrological New Year report. And you can find it for each of your horoscopes. So go to foreverconscious.com and find, I'll include the link here into what I'm reading so that you can revisit it. But you can find your individual astrological report for the astrological new year, thanks to Tanaz and Mildred Murillo. Okay, so that is a little seed to spark the energy of the show today. I am playing some songs today, which admittedly, I had a hard time whittling down to just eight. I'm going to hopefully play eight throughout the show, although you never know. Sometimes I talk too much. And I made the playlist yesterday, which was a very different energy than today. Today is beautiful, sunny out, a little bit warmer. Yesterday was overcast, a little more, it was almost misty and cooler. And so that was the vibe that I was in, which, you know, can be good, because what you can do is you can take this playlist, and when you do your spring cleaning, which is probably going to be on one of those more dreary days, because those sunshiny days, you're going to want to be outside when you have that free time. So you can take this playlist and you can re-listen to the show. I also have some additional songs on the playlist, which I'll link to in the show notes, but you can listen to it while you're doing your spring cleaning. So that's my theory here. And as I do with my playlists, I sometimes get a little goofy in my theme. I did try to start with a spring theme, but then it meandered into a love theme, which seems to be also associated with spring. It's kind of this, I don't know, awakening of our hearts and Twitter pating and things like that. Nature is all happy and frolicking. So there is some love themes, and then just random songs that I liked that I found. So that's what we're going to listen to throughout the day, throughout the show. And we're starting with the song. Actually, let me make sure I have it right. We're going to start with the song Trees and Flowers by Strawberry Switchblade. Thank you. As I mentioned earlier, I'm not an expert when it comes to spring cleaning, or I guess a lot of what I'll be talking about and sharing today relates to recycling or repurposing of goods. I thought it was interesting in the article that I was inspired by in the New Yorker. It was the February 28th issue of the New Yorker, and the title is Getting Rid of It by Patricia Marks. And she essentially talks about how she says it's not hard to find what you need to get rid of, but how to get rid of it or how to find another home for it is the more difficult part. So she spends a lot of time in that article actually sharing ways and places that you can take your things to, or methods of getting it into another loving home. And I think it's interesting that she starts out with the premise that it's easy to find the things that you want to get rid of. I think that's, for me, the harder part. So we're not actually attacking that today. We're not going into that, other than to say that if you start small, and that could mean a drawer, or maybe it's your closet, that's probably the best way to think about it. Without getting overwhelmed, and to maybe say, you know, this isn't something that's going to happen in a day or a week. You might pick one thing to focus on for the next 6 weeks, whatever works for you. You know, maybe just setting aside an hour or two to focus on this task. And the other thing is, one of the things that Patricia Marks talks about is very specific things to do with items. So for example, bras can be recycled. I didn't know this. And so you might say, well, this week I'm just going to focus on my bras, or my bras and my mascara wands. So those are, not to pick the two most feminine things on the list, but that's what came to mind. You might think of it that way. Those are just some thoughts of how I am planning to address this for my own life. Thinking about it all is just insanity to me. Thinking about like my makeup drawer that I never use. Of course, I just pulled out the eyeshadow that I've never used in 5 years, but decided to wear it the past couple of weeks. And that's what goes through my head. Then I think, well, what if one day I want it like I did a few weeks ago? I can't get rid of it. That is a subject for another show, as I mentioned. Today, we're focusing on how and where to gift or sell your items. And I just thought I'd mention NPR also had an article, "Tis the Season, Spring Cleaning." NPR had an article, 8 Life Kit Episodes for Spring Cleaning Your Home and Life. And so there's that out there that you can also be inspired by. And I think it's interesting because they actually kind of talk about some other aspects of it, like cleaning out the fridge, organizing your kitchen cabinets, those things that I don't tend to think about so much, maybe because I already have those under control. My biggest issue is probably clothing. So yes, those are available for you. The other thing that this article in NPR talks about is cleaning up your camera roll, which is a whole separate conversation, right? Our electronic data that we accumulate, whether it's emails, images, etc. And not to make anyone like feel guilty for it, but I did recently, I guess, sort of think about it in the terms of how it's contributing to the energy that is consumed, right? Everything that is stored in the cloud is being maintained via servers, which takes an exorbitant amount of energy to maintain the servers of the massive amounts of electronic data that we have in the cloud. And so, just to be thinking of that, not to put pressure on anyone or guilt anyone into it, but if you have things that you can get out of the cloud, it might feel good to clean that up too. And then, of course, getting your finances in order. Tax season, another thing that I've been avoiding for the past couple of weeks. But there you have it. Those are some ideas of ways that energetically they might be impacting you, although it's not necessarily taking up physical space in your life. And that is from the NPR article that I will link to in the show notes as well. Okay, getting into some of the ideas from Patricia Marks and The New Yorker. And I'm going to read a little bit here just because she does a really good job writing this article and there's a lot of great information in it. Hopefully I'll have enough time to read it all. I think I will. So let's just get started. I'm skipping over bits and pieces of it, but her first tip is tip number one, life is not Antiques Roadshow. The thingies you found in your grandfather's drawer after he died are his dentures, not a valuable Jurassic Age fossil. She continues, the first thing I tried to unload was four folk art handbags, each constructed out of braided cigarette packet wrappers by incarcerated Americans in the 1950s and 60s. I'd amassed the collection in the 90s on eBay for reasons that now elude me. I consulted with Stan Jennings, a retired postal worker, for guidance on selling them. Jennings has been selling goods on eBay and Etsy for clients since 1998. I asked him, should I list the purses as a group or individually? If you offer them as a package deal, he explained, you'll lose collectors who prefer to cherry pick. Your likely buyer will be a dealer interested in reselling and who therefore won't offer much. Should I auction the purse or sell it at a fixed price? For unique, rare, or high-demand items, Jennings said, choose the former and hope for a bidding war. If items are readily available, go for the latter, which allows impulsive buyers to snatch them at the click of a button. So just to reiterate that if you have rare items, unique, high demand, then you might use an auction service like an eBay. And if they are kind of average items that are easily obtainable and people just are going to snatch them up because they're a little bit better of a deal for whatever you are selling them for, then you may not want to do the auction on eBay. You may want to think about, you can just do buy it now on eBay, or there are other systems, right? There's Facebook Marketplace, which I've never used, Craigslist, other things. And she goes on to talk about some of them. So these are tips on how to offload the items that you want to sell rather than donating, right? Some of us might have valuable things or enough of them that we want to try to make some cash. Wouldn't that be great? Although she does go on later to say that it can take a lot of time and may not be worth it, but something for you to consider and try out. So tip number two, a good story can clinch a sale. Include the provenance and a heartwarming anecdote in your description. And she goes on to describe some of them and her own personal experience of listing some things. But then shares that for the things that she wasn't able to sell, she was able to tweak some of the language and using terms like collectible to the title and lowered a price. And sometimes that worked. Sometimes it didn't. Some of the other language that might be helpful when you're listing things is unique, conversation piece, and smoke-free home. So I'm sure if you have enough items where you want to really kind of spend some time doing this, or you just have a few very unique items, you can probably find more information online about this so that you can get the best return on your efforts there. But just some little things to be thinking about. I have never sold anything on eBay or anything online as I think about it. So I'm not an expert when it comes to that, but I just know that there is a deluge of information out there and sellers. And so how do you stand out from the rest is always my question and probably why I've avoided it myself. So those are just some little tips, but I bet the internet holds many, many other things, many other bits of information that will be helpful to you. So then Patricia says how she's turning her attention to the heaps of clothing that she has, which is really, my kind of Achilles heel. I have actually had this idea of repurposing clothing for I don't know how many decades at this point, which I've done a little bit of, but it hasn't been enough to make a dent in the accumulation of clothing. And I have, I'm working through that. That's like, that is my thing that I'm going to be working on. Not that it matters to you. But the clothing is an interesting subject because some things just can't, you know, they're just not, they're worn through. They're too old. So then what do you do with those types of things that are not sellable or not, they're, you know, you're causing more effort for the folks at Goodwill and other places that take clothing by having to go through these pieces that just aren't wearable any longer. So what do you do about those kinds of things? And textile recycling is a whole other subject that is complicated because it's hard to find places that do textile recycling, although I think that in the Ulster County, you can go to earth911.com and find locations where they do textile recycling. I have to reconnect with my notes. I'm not there yet in my head yet, but there are places that you can do that. It's complicated by the fact, though, that which Cal Patch mentioned on the show once upon a time when she was on, who is a great resource for repurposing your clothing, right? If you want to do things with old pieces and turn them into something new that will be more exciting for you and make you want to wear them, there are people like Cal out there that can help you do that, inspire you to do that, or to be mending pieces that maybe you still like and adding a little flair to them in some way to make them usable. But she had mentioned when she was on the show that it's very hard. Well, they can't recycle textiles when there's mixed, when it's synthetic and natural fibers in the same garment. And so it's tricky. And I don't know how the textile recyclers have worked that out. If you have a natural fiber material, but then synthetics, thread that has been used to keep the garment together. I didn't have enough time to research it thoroughly, but I just know that there are places that will do the textile recycling, and hopefully they have figured that all out so it just doesn't end up in a landfill, which is always my concern, right? By offloading these things to different places, are they actually doing what they say they will do with them? And it's always good to investigate that. But let's say you have a bunch of clothing that you'd like to sell. So there are a lot of alternatives to the eBay or Etsy places. Patricia says Depop is the cool kids table in the cafeteria of e-commerce. 90% of the app's users are 25 or younger, and the merchandise reflects this demographic. A goth corset bustier with boning, $75. A plush phone case in the shape of a panda, $23. Rollerblades, $22.99, with many items styled into ensembles. Depop takes 10% of every item sold. Poshmark, on the other hand, frequented by a slightly older buyer, sees itself as not merely a selling tool but also a social stomping ground. Throughout the day, there are posh parties, virtual shopping events organized by sellers around certain themes, blah, 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 blah. Doesn't sound like my scene, but it might be yours. And actually, the NPR article mentioned a couple of other online clothing, ThredUp, Poshmark, Depop, and The Real Real. So those are options for reselling clothing. And the other thing you could also try is, if you have decent enough stuff, you could take it to a consignment shop, which I'm sure most folks know how that works, but they hold the item and try to sell it in exchange for a portion of the sale. And we've got plenty of places around here like that. There's a likelihood that folks are overwhelmed right now because there is a plethora of items. This is kind of an epidemic in terms of folks throughout the pandemic have done a good job cleaning out their closets and finding places for them. And so some places may not be as willing to take things as they once were a few years ago, but it's certainly worth an effort making a phone call first and finding out about what might be an option for you. Okay, so we've got the clothing discussed slightly. We've got places like Craigslist, Facebook, Marketplace, and then there's the organizations that you can find on Facebook. There are a lot of groups like the Buy Nothing group. So if you just want to give things away, you can try that. And Patricia, the journalist, does say that she seems to have witnessed this phenomenon where people would rather pay something, like get a discount, versus getting something for free. And it may be dependent upon which platform you're using. So just know that in the back of your mind, that sometimes folks are actually willing to pay and they're psychologically more inclined to want the item if they're paying something at a discount for it than thinking that it's just something for free. She described a woman who tried to give away basically her whole closet for free and she was left with a lot of items. So something to think about. But there are, right, you can sell things on Craigslist, you can sell things on Facebook Marketplace, but then there's also the Free Cycle and the Buy Nothing Project and other things like that. I don't know all the names of the local ones here in the Hudson Valley. I know that I actually belong to a couple of the Facebook groups and I was trying to find them and maybe I'll try again, but I couldn't easily get to them to name them all. But they're out there and basically they're just community places. I mean, there certainly is the Kingston Mutual Aid Group, which if you have items that you're just willing to give to people, you can post it there. And if somebody wants it, then great, you've made a match and you can make somebody happy who is looking for the items that you have. And obviously the good old standbys, Goodwill. There's a lot of what is the name of it? In various parking lots, you'll find the clothing containers that you can donate clothing to as well. But for items that aren't clothing, then some of the Free Cycle or the Buy Nothing Project or those different community groups can be really useful to finding the folks that want your things. The other thing I've noticed is that people who are leaving things on the curb or at the end of their driveway have a pretty good response when it comes to folks taking them. And so that's also an option. As far as I know, it's perfectly legal to do that. So that is the beginning of our conversation about what to do with the things that you would like to get rid of. There's lots more to say, which I know just sounds fascinating, probably, if you're like me. If not, then you can enjoy the music that we're going to listen to next. I've got a couple of songs lined up, and let me tell you who we're going to listen to, which will then be followed by some words from the community. So the first song is Cherry Colored Funk by the Cocteau Twins, and then we'll hear Velvet Ring by Big Thief and Dance for Love by Zella Day. So use this time to get into the mood, relax, move your body a little bit, and then I'll be back after the words from our community.
You're listening to I Want What She Has on Radio Kingston, WKNY, AM 1490, FM 107.9 in Kingston, New York.
Teresa here, and if you're tuning in, you've landed into the spring cleaning episode that I am using to help motivate myself and perhaps others to find some excitement in this process of spring and decluttering. I will say that there was a, maybe it was, I think it was during the pandemic. Not to say that it's over. I don't know how to talk about it exactly, but the heart of it, where we were really kind of, you know, in our houses, not going anywhere. I finally found the information about how to recycle Christmas lights, which I, from what I understand, you can actually just take to Home Depot. But there was, once upon a time, I had read something about an organization, the Christmas Light Source, that will recycle them and then they donate funds to different charities. And so, for whatever reason, those darn Christmas lights just don't last very long, and it's very frustrating, but I packaged them all up in a box, and I got them out to the Christmas Light Source, and it felt fabulous to have that done. Of course, now I have more that I have that don't work, but now I know what to do, and it doesn't feel as daunting. So little things like that, we're going to talk about. I am continuing to share from the February 28th episode issue of The New Yorker. The article is Getting Rid of It by Patricia Marks. And it is for all of those out there who have the things already identified that you would like to get rid of and just aren't sure what to do with them. Perhaps you're having a hard time, or you want to really feel good about where it's going, or perhaps make a little money while you're doing it. So that's what we're talking about today. The tip number three that Patricia shares that kind of relates to where we left off before, when we're talking about using some of the free cycle or buy nothing project, excuse my hiccups, I apologize for that. Different Facebook groups are often used fairly readily for these types of things. But tip number three, she does say, if you want to give away an assortment of things online, stipulate that the winner takes all. Otherwise, some will cherry pick the Makita cordless drill and leave you with the rusty files, mauve bed skirt, and avocado slicer. And something for those of you who may not have used any of these services, which I haven't, so this is all new information to me, but there is a process in one of the groups where there's basically bidding that happens, and maybe it's Facebook Marketplace, I don't know, but the people will offer different prices for something, and then you have to identify who's going to get it, or if it's a free item and a lot of people want it, sometimes you have to figure out how to choose the person who's going to receive the item. And there is apparently a system, an app that will actually kind of do a random choice. Well, they will select that person for you, or you can ask folks to tell why they want the item or give some story, and then you can choose what's most appealing to your heartstrings to pick that person. So that's what she's talking about when I think she refers to winner takes all. Just some tips of things that I have no idea about because I've never done them. Actually, and there's a book that she refers to, The Intelligent Person's Guide to Giving in New York City, How to Donate or Recycle Everything. It's a bit old, 12 years old, but I bet there are other resources out there. She says, the etiquette governing whom to select among multiple suitors is discussed with Talmudic rigor on buy nothing message boards. Some favor letting the offer simmer, a buy nothing term, so that you have an opportunity to spend quality online time conversing with more neighbors. Others allow a website called Wheel of Names to randomly choose a winner. Then there are those who ask would-be recipients to describe how they plan to use your gift so that you can pick the most compelling story. Bear in mind that the object under discussion could, for example, be a partially consumed tub of cheese balls. Who knew? All right. The exciting part for me is like learning about all these ways to take a specific item that is useful to other organizations and get it in their hands. So I'm going to share some of that now. Let me just check on my timing to make sure I don't get lost in my own talking. Okay. So there are lots of other obscure specialized organizations. For instance, all those old unusable mascara wands in your bathroom cabinet. Who's collecting mascara wands is an interesting question. But those tubs of mascara that are probably ready to be tossed, you can mail the wands to Wands for Wildlife, a nonprofit that started off as a program at the Appalachian Wildlife Refuge in North Carolina. These will be shared with wildlife caretakers to comb away fly eggs, dirt, fleas, ticks, and larvae from the wings of birds and the fur of animals. That's wandsforwildlife.org. Are you somebody who is in possession of a fur coat? It is said that nobody wants fur these days, but animals do. Rehabilitators like those at Sacred Friends in Norfolk, Virginia, cut up old coats and use the scraps as little capes and stoles to keep sick animals warm. And she gives an address, firsthawksnest@gmail.com. That's 1-STHAWKSNEST@gmail.com. I'm linking to the New Yorker article in the show notes as well. So if any of this is particularly appealing to you and you want to find the information, it'll be there. PETA wants your pelts too. The organization donates them to the homeless, the only humans with any excuse to wear fur, according to its website. And lately, it has shipped fur garments to Afghanistan and Iraq for use by refugees. St. Jude's Ranch for Children will accept any greeting cards, used or new, that you mail to the organization, except, and this is a big except, Hallmark, American Greetings, and Disney cards. Has something to do with copyright laws. That piano you thought you were going to play? Give it to somebody who really will, or so he thinks. There is actually a pianoadoption.com website. piano/lineadoption.com. Never getting married again? Cash for your wedding dress is can be found at stillwhite.com. As I mentioned earlier, your bras are welcomed with open arms at the Bra Recyclers, a Phoenix-based enterprise that has sent more than 4 million bras to homeless shelters, schools, foster programs, and other nonprofits all over the world. As Elaine Burks Mitchell, the founder of the Bra Recyclers, explained to Patricia over Zoom, bras are not just about fashion. For girls in developing countries, they make it possible to play sports and attend school without embarrassment. What to do with your 9-foot-tall resin giraffe? That is a question that I've been burning for an answer for. Just kidding. The people at Burberry donate theirs along with a couple of gorillas and some toucans. All are retired store displays to Material for the Arts, the largest creative reuse center in New York City. The goal of the center, founded in 1978, is to provide art supplies to schools and creative types in underserved communities. You can visit the organization's 35,000 square foot warehouse in Long Island City to drop off your buttons and beads and bric-a-brac, where they will join an array of Winsor & Newton markers, jars from makeup manufacturers, flavor paper, wallpaper, artificial Christmas trees, orange jumpsuits from Orange is the New Black, office chairs from Blueberg, and soon the broken grate from My Viking Stove. That's Patricia's Viking Stove, not my Viking Stove. Another good place to donate is, as I mentioned before, sidewalks and the end of your driveway. It's amazing what folks will happily take because they are looking for that item. And, okay, so in the New York area, and I'm not sure if she's referring just to specifically New York City, but Renewable Recycling will pick up your mattresses for a modest fee and repurpose its components, turning the padding into cushion fillings the springs into appliances, and the wood frames into mulch. To find a taker or hauler near you, consult the listings on buybuymattress.com and earth911.com. And I'll just say I had not heard of the website earth911.com, but they have a lot of information about local recycling places. So you put in what it is and you put in your zip code, and hopefully they have some information that will be useful to you. If you have too many corks from wine bottles lying around, that used to be a problem for me, but not anymore, then maybe recycling isn't your biggest problem. Duh. Nevertheless, two companies, ReCork and Cork Forest Conservation Alliance, will take your bottle stoppers and make sure they find an afterlife in shoes, fishing tackle, model train tracks, and more. I don't know why, I just find this so fascinating that these things are being used. I think it's fabulous. So all of your wine corks. Electronics. This is a big one. Electronics deserves its own paragraph, given that e-waste is the fastest growing waste stream in the world, according to the World Economic Forum. Always looking out for herself, Alexa informs me that it's illegal to throw out electronics in many states. I hope most folks knew that. Yet more than 50 million tons of the stuff is produced every year, and only 20% of it is formally recycled. If you like to measure everything in Eiffel Towers, that's the equivalent of about 5,000 of them. Better to give your old tech items to Computers with Causes, which passes them on to people and organizations that need them, or to World Computer Exchange, an organization that refurbishes computers and then donates them to schools, libraries, community centers, and hospitals in developing countries. That's computerswithcauses.org and worldcomputerexchange.org. If you'd rather sell your devices, declutter, it's D-E-C-L-U-T-T-R, will give you cash. Amazon's trade-in program will compensate you in Amazon gift cards. And Sell, that's spelled S-E-L-L, C-E-L-L, compares more than 40 buyback companies so that you can get the most cash for your cell phone. And I'll just mention here in our lovely area of Ulster County, we have the Ulster County Resource Recovery Center, and you can take your electronics there. And I was on their website just to kind of grab some information. I'll put their website in the show notes. I'll do that as we speak. And the just a note, they are hiring right now. They're looking for a laborer, drivers, sorting line workers, and a mechanic. So just to know that. And e-waste is something that they do accept there. And you can go to the website so that you can just verify this information. It's not, I should just point out, it's only during a certain time of the year. So on April 2nd, it starts again here in Ulster County. But they do take televisions, cable, satellite receivers, digital converter boxes, cell phones, office phones, phone chargers, computers, monitors, laptops, small-scale servers, printer, copy fax machines, digital video cameras, radios, digital music devices, VHS, DVD players, video game consoles, GPS or navigation devices, and all wires or cables associated with these devices. There are a list of things that they don't take, so verify it before you go there. And there is a process that you need to abide by when you go there. But I have done that, and it's very easy. So you can go ahead and find that information at the ucrra.org. And they also list the Repair Cafe, which is for those of you who have an item that you believe can be fixed and you want to keep using it, that there are people who could potentially help you. The Repair Cafe is something that you can visit. And I'll link to that. Well, it's linked to in the Ulster County Resource Recovery Center website, so you can find that information there. Lots of information out there for you. It's nice to be supported this way by our community. So with that, we're going to take a little musical interlude before we hear some more words from our community and before I continue on with this just wealth of information about recycling. I got a few more things to share with you about what to do with those items that you no longer need. So we are going to listen to two songs. Didn't Want to Have to Do It by Cass Elliot and Good Looking by Suki Waterhouse. And then I'll be back after the words from our community.
Didn't want to have to do it.
I mentioned the Repair Cafe, and I just happily went over to their website and found out that they are having a rummage sale to support Repair Cafe of the Hudson Valley. They would like to fund a coordinator for their repair cafes. And so the rummage sale is happening on April 24th. And donation drop-off is happening at the New Paltz United Methodist Church every Wednesday from 5 to 6 through March 30th. And it looks like there's another date on here. It might be a little bit longer than that. Please donate all items by April 10th. But I'll link to it in the show notes, this information for Repair Cafe. But they are specifically asking for certain items and letting you know what they will not accept. And again, this is all going so that they can fund a coordinator for their repair cafes, which is a wonderful resource for our community so that we can repair our electronics rather than having to recycle them. Okay. Back to the New Yorker article, and Patricia talks about the heavier, bulky crapola, to quote her, especially furniture, that is prohibitively expensive to ship and not much fun to drag to a thrift shop. Most of it arrived in trucks, and she's happy to report that some of it can be taken away in trucks. There are many junk removal services, 1-800-GOT-JUNK, Junk King, College Hunks Hauling Junk and Moving, but she's partial to junk luggers, because once it showed up with two trucks and swooped up mountains of cast-offs, including a parking meter from her boyfriend's storage unit. So far, the junk has never come back. They do charge a fee to do this junk removal, in most situations, and the organization tries its darndest to donate your junk to charity and give you a tax deductible receipt. Green Drop, which may sound like a square on the Candyland board, is a donation drop-off and pickup service that serves the East Coast. You can designate which of the handful of charities it partners with you'd like your flotsam and jetsam delivered to. The organization accepts kitchenware, games, books, and small appliances and furniture. If you live somewhere outside the Green Drop domain, you can consult the directory on the Donation Town website, which suggests charities nationwide that pick up in or nearest your zip code. Of course, here in the Hudson Valley, we do have a Habitat for Humanity free store. I have never donated anything to them, but I have purchased things from them. They're on Route 28. I'm sure folks know about that, but great organization. I love shopping there as I'm talking about decluttering. Okay, books, those kinds of fun things. Jessica has been on the show before, who has Half Moon Books, our local used bookstore purveyor here in Kingston. I apologize if there are others, but I just know of Jessica who deals in used books. And I know from talking to her that sometimes she can get overwhelmed by them. It's probably best to call first and tell her what you have, and she will let you know if she is able to purchase them or give you a store credit for them, or if you should find someplace else, like one of those free libraries. But this is what Patricia Marks says about books. People divesting themselves of quantities of books, and this applies to LPs as well, often start by thinking, oh boy, I'm going to make so much money selling these precious volumes, and end up saying, I will pay you any amount of money to take this bleep off my hands. A friend who specializes in rare books at a big auction house told me, I get calls all the time from people who say, I have 4,000 books and I think they're valuable. My first thought is, no, they're not. Usually, if a collection is valuable, somebody knows. To determine how much a single book will go for, not what you'll get for it, check the price of similar books on a site such as Abe Books, Alibris, or Biblio. If you have a huge library, Michael Pyron, a bookbinder and bookseller in Pennsylvania, suggests putting together a representative box and taking it to a bookseller who can then decide whether your collection warrants a house call. The Strand in Manhattan is another place, but Jessica at Half Moon Books, I'm not trying to overwhelm her, call her and ask her first. Tip number four. Be forewarned, age doesn't make a book intrinsically valuable, nor is the worth of a book necessarily enhanced by its being a first edition. The first printing of the first London edition of the first Harry Potter book is stupidly expensive. One sold for around $471,000. Oh my lord, Pyron said, explaining that not many copies were printed because no one expected it would become the pet rock of the publishing business. First editions late in a series can go for less than the cost of postage. The same supply and demand reckoning applies to signed copies. Hemingway? Yes. Uptake? Updike? Not so much. It turns out he signed so many books that it's a mystery how he found time to write. Haha. For me, the threshold is a book I can put a price of $25 or above on, Pyron said. If a dealer is offering you a dollar a book, it's not worth shopping around, he said. If someone offers you $150 for a book, it might be worth getting another opinion. Good to know. Okay, it is probably time to throw your remaining books overboard, but throw them where they'll matter. For instance, prison libraries, libguides.ala.org/prisonlibraries/bookstopprisons, books to prisons, rather, books for Africa, booksforafrica.org, public libraries, betterworldbooks.com/go/donate. Those are places that she lists. I bet there are other places here. I know we have the little tiny libraries. So there are probably other places who will take your books if Jessica will not. And there are likely some other used bookstores in the Hudson Valley, but Jessica's here in Kingston. The desperate go to the dump, which seems like a not trying too hard euphemism for the landfill. What we used to call a dump, ripe rubbish, rats, has been illegal since 1976. The dump has been replaced by the transfer station, strictly regulated sites that operate as temporary repositories until the refuse can be transported to landfills. It's funny, a little dump story. We used to go to the dump. Our family vacations, we would go to the Upper Peninsula in northern Michigan. I lived in Wisconsin. We would take our bacon grease and maybe some peanut butter and go to the dump and just set it out there and wait for the bears to come and eat and watch the bears from our car. And that was what we did for fun. Has anyone else done that? So I have fond memories of dumps. If landfills are the Las Vegas of waste management, what goes there stays there. Recycling and transfer stations are communist utopias where givers are encouraged to be takers, too. Need some Christmas decorations, side tables, the contents of an old lady's scarf, drawer, perfectly good books, mulch? Check the transfer stations. And I actually, I don't know if anyone uses the Nextdoor app, but I had found out that there was, at least in Rochester, and there probably are in other communities, these are just things I'm not tuned into. So as I am learning, I am sharing with you, and you might say, I already know this, Teresa. But there is a, I'm not sure if it's at the transfer station, in Rochester, a small little town near me. It's in the Hudson Valley. It's in Ulster County. But they basically have the town of Rochester Exchange, Reuse, and Upcycle store, where they just have things that are available to town of Rochester residents that they can go and I think, just take things. I'm not sure if you pay for them. I don't really know the details, but it was interesting to learn about that. I've seen pictures of it on the Nextdoor app, which I didn't really finish my thought there. Nextdoor can also be another place. If you're not into the Facebook scene, Nextdoor is a place where people oftentimes will say that they need something or have something. And it's organized usually by neighborhood-ish, although I tend to see a lot of people throughout the Hudson Valley in different areas. But still, it's relatively local, and you can kind of check in on what's happening with your neighbors, what they are doing, how they're finding things that you need, like carpenters and plumbers and electricians and people like that. So that is Nextdoor, and that's where I learned about the Rochester Exchange, which is kind of a cool thing that's happening. So the other things that have come up for me along the way has been, as I mentioned earlier, Christmas lights, which I know I'm fairly certain that Home Depot will take them. Maybe Lowe's will, maybe Herzog's will. I don't know for sure, but I know Home Depot is listed as saying that they will. And I, as I mentioned, have sent them to christmas-light-source.com. And they take the items, they take the lights, and they do something to recycle them, and then the proceeds go to charities. So that was something that was on my list of things. Pillows was another thing that came up for me. I actually probably use my pillows a little bit too long, but there is a lifespan on pillows, which some of you may already be well aware of. And the problem is what do you do with them? It's not advisable to put them in the garbage. They end up in a landfill. And unless your pillow is like 100% cotton, you can compost, from what I understand, but it's not likely that your pillow is 100% cotton. And so what do you do? There is the website Casper, which is a pillow manufacturer, does list some information about what to do with used pillows. And they actually had some interesting ideas about how to repurpose them, that you could use them for floor cushion seats, that they could become pet beds, you could use them as moving material, or you could turn them into throw pillows. And they did mention that some organizations might take used pillows. I don't know. I don't believe that Goodwill does. I think, like with mattresses and bedding, they often don't take items like that. But you can obviously investigate that. But Casper, the website for Casper Pillows, had some information on it. And but it might be considered a textile that you could, if you're recycling textiles, then pillows could qualify as a recycled textile, I believe. And just to mention, you know, this idea of turning things into something else, repurposing them. And I had noticed that I think at the Olive Library, they were having a sewing gathering where basically kind of a skills exchange, but teaching people how to repurpose some of their clothing. And locally here to Kingston, my dear friend Sarah Carlson had been organizing something akin to that. And we had one meeting in maybe it was December, and then we were thwarted by weather the past two dates. I think it was the ice storm and then the most recent snowstorm. And so it hasn't happened again, but as the weather gets nicer, I'm assuming that Sarah is still gung-ho about this and having folks come together to share their skills. And it's not necessarily intended for repurposing, although that could be something that you can do. It's kind of a designated time where, maybe it's dedicated time, where you're excited to go have a social experience with other people, and they're sewing or they're crafting or they're doing something. I know the first and last time I went to it, I had brought some old material that I had planned to do things with that had just been sitting around. And Perla from Radio Kingston helped me take some of the seams out of those pieces of material so that I can now use them and repurpose them into something, whether it become a quilt, a blanket, etc. And actually, that's, where did I read that about quilts? There are some organizations that you can reach out to for recycling of textiles, where they do things like repurpose them and put them into quilts, like the organization Quilts of Valor. And the other organization that I remembered was Unshattered, who was on the show before talking about what they do. They turn old material into purses and items like that, where they then sell them, and they work with women who are basically in rehab, coming out of a difficult situation. And so it employs women, gets them back on their feet. It helps house them and provide them with different things. It's a fabulous organization. So Unshattered, I don't know all of the types of items they take, so best to go to their website, which I will link to again in the show notes. Some of this is just coming at me, and I'm making sure that I take a note to leave it for you. So thinking about, if you want to find out about our next potential gathering for the Skillshare and repurposing here in Kingston, organized by Sarah Carlson, just send me a note and I'll connect you with Sarah. Or you can find her online too. She just started a... she recently recovered from breast cancer, and she is now helping folks to navigate their health as it relates to that. And I can't remember her new website, but she's out there. You'll find her, or find me, and I'll help you find her. Okay, batteries. Batteries are another one. I did not know that regular alkaline batteries are oftentimes just thrown away in the garbage. It seems really bad to me, but that is a common thing. Technically, you can do that, from what I understand. But there are some places that might take batteries. I haven't been able to contact the Ulster County Resource Recovery Center to find out if they do, but that's one place I would check. And rechargeable batteries, however, can be recycled. There is an organization called 2recycle.org. That's called the number 2recycle.org. Staples, Walmart, Lowe's, and Home Depot all here, I do believe, take recycled rechargeable batteries, and they will repurpose them. There is an organization that pays. I think the organizations that create the rechargeable batteries actually are involved with paying for the process of repurposing them or recycling them. I don't know what they do exactly. So that's why they have a system, a really well-run system for reclaiming those items. But the alkaline batteries are kind of just, nobody cares about them. So the batteries, that was another thing that I thought about. And while we're on the subject of it, because I just took so many notes, but the Ulster County Resource Recovery Center also will take your compost. So I'm not sure. Out by me, I just put it in my backyard and mix it with some leaves and eventually throw it in the garden. But composting is a great way of helping the environment. And so you can reach out to them. You can also buy compost from them. All right, what other notes do I have here that I have forgotten about? I think I've covered it all. I think I've got it all. There's one other thing here. What is this? New York State Association for Reduction, Reuse, and Recycling. Okay, this is maybe the mother lode of the New York residents. New York, NYSAR3.org. That's the website if you have questions about where to take something in the state of New York. And they are going to have the information to help point you in the right direction. NYSAR3, that just the letter 3, not spelled out, .org. I'll link to it in the show notes. I don't know if anyone else geeks out over this stuff, as I clearly am, but I'm excited to have all of this organized so that I can take better care of my closets and my drawers and the earth and my mental health. Whew. Okay, it's time for another musical interlude. Wouldn't you say? I would say. We're going to hear two songs, and then we're going to listen to some words from the community, and then I'll be back to finish up the show with a few more words from Tanaz about Aries season. So the lovely tunes you're going to hear are These Days from Nico and Replaceable Heads from Soko. Ending the show with a little more love from and for Tanaz of Forever Conscious. And this is the Aries season. And she says about this, sometimes life brings us moments where we have to step up, take charge, and forge our own way forward. Sometimes life puts us in situations where no one but ourselves can save us. Sometimes we have to take matters into our own hands and become the hero of our own story. On March 20th, 21st, at the same time as the equinox, the sun moves into the tropical zodiac of Aries. Aries is the first sign of the zodiac and is known to be the leader, the way shower, the headstrong savior that always has a way of figuring things out. When things are bleak, when we feel alone in our struggles, it is the energy of Aries that helps us to soldier through, to know that even though we sometimes have to go it alone, we have the power and the strength to make it through. If you are facing such a situation in your life now, or if something in your life needs to change, Aries season is a fantastic time to get the ball rolling and make things happen. This is even doubly true in 2022, as we have zero major planets in retrograde motion all through the season. Retrogrades tend to create a slowdown in the cosmos as they guide us to reflect and revisit the past. But with all planets on the move forward, it is a clear sign from the universe that it's time for us to move forward, to leave the past behind, and to think about where we are heading. Aries is such a strong-willed, fiery sign, so this is a good time for all of us, regardless of our sign, to think about how we can use some of this energy in our own lives. Where do you need to take ownership of your own life? How can you step up and lead the way towards where you want to be? Instead of waiting for others, waiting for opportunities, or putting our power in things outside ourselves, Aries season offers us the energy that allows us to take our power back and to know that we always have what it takes to find our way forward. If you are feeling lost or uncertain, Aries energy gives us the confidence we need to take action. In fact, Aries is all about taking action. So be sure you are not just dreaming or thinking about it, but you are also acting on it. It doesn't matter if the steps are small. Often that is all it takes to get the ball rolling and to bring a new wave of clarity. One of the defining features of Aries season is the meeting of Jupiter and Neptune. As these planets inch closer together throughout the season, we are going to feel their energy growing and stronger. You can read in greater detail what these two planets will bring. Tanaz links to that. She has another blog post about that. But ultimately, this is an energy that can inspire a new creativity, a bigger creative vision, spiritual growth, and collective awakening. As Aries season is always a fantastic time for fresh starts, new beginnings, and taking action, this additional energy from Jupiter and Neptune will help us to dream bigger, to take creative risks, and to use our intuition or spiritual knowledge to drive our decision making. There is, she offers a recap on some of the ways that you can work with Aries. Become the leader of your own life, start new things, launch projects, take back your power on a situation that is making you feel powerless, create a manifestation board or set intentions for the months to come, take a leap of faith, take matters into your own hands, balance releasing control versus taking control, be your own hero, find your independence, explore your entrepreneurial spirit, and lead by example. And with that, I will end today's show. Big thanks to Ian. Ian here at Radio Kingston for running the board and making everything sound so lovely. Thanks to Shauna Falana for our show music as always. And I link to the playlist, so thanks to all the musicians who we listened to today. Plus, there's some additional songs on that playlist so that it'll get you through a couple, a good hour and a half of decluttering and spring cleaning. So with that, thanks to everyone for listening, and until next week, I hope that you will love yourself and uplift one another. Ida is coming up next with the Heavy Light Show, so don't go away.
Live online, RadioKingston.org. It's Monday Memorial, and coming up next,
it's I Want What She Has
with Teresa Widman. And we love this part of the week when we get to chat with Teresa.
And what do you have, Teresa? maybe I should say, what don't you have?
What do you want that you don't have, Teresa?
Oh, I don't, nothing comes to mind.
Okay.
Right. I feel very blessed in my life. Yeah.
I think after 4 years of this show, we've kind of revealed everything that we want that she has, right? It's been 4 years
well,
now.
I still can apply that title, I Want What She Has, even with what Teresa just said, because I want to feel blessed too.
Yeah.
I will say that usually when I have guests on, I do often admire them in different ways. So they spark, you know, inspiration to like, striving might be too strong of a word, but embodying, you know, qualities that are honorable in my guests. Today it's just me though on the show, so there's no one to admire.
So you can admire yourself.
You can admire yourself. Do you have a mirror handy? You can admire yourself.
I did just take a selfie.
You go. Teresa's very lovely. She can admire herself.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I always thought so.
I got some eyeshadow on today.
Look at you go.
Kick it up a little bit.
Kick it up a notch.
Spring.
Right? Spring is here. So we have a little conversation going here today, Teresa.
All right.
So this is your mom listening, by the way?
She's, I think, going to listen to the beginning of the show.
All right, Mom. So here's the question. This has to do with Mom.
Okay.
And everyone's mom. So growing up, didn't our mom always say, eat your veggies?
Yeah.
My mom did. How about you, Manuel?
A lot of the time.
Your mom, Teresa, yes?
Well, I do not actually remember that ever happening, but I don't feel like I avoided veggies when I was younger. She would have to answer that question for me.
Okay.
But.
Well, anyway, we're going to talk about veggies, but it's important to eat your veggies, but I found some very unusual veggies that we should try.
Ooh.
Now, you may know some of these. I'm only familiar with maybe one or two of them, and maybe Manuel is familiar with a couple. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
But are you ready?
I'm excited.
These are weird, wonderful, wacky vegetables that are actually out there for real that we should all try. The first is a vegetable called oca, O-C-A.
I have not heard of that.
It is the New Zealand lamb, no.
What?
No. That's a tongue twister. It's the New Zealand yam.
Oh, okay.
It originates in central and southern part of the country. Very colorful and very flavorful. And it is available here. You can add it to salads, soups, stews, and even mash them.
I'm down for that.
Then there's a vegetable called Romanesco.
some form of lettuce?
Well, it's similar to broccoli, cauliflower, Brussels sprouts, and cabbage.
Okay.
Originates in Italy and can also be called Romanesco broccoli or Roman cauliflower.
Hmm.
Not too familiar with that. This one I've heard of and had, actually, kohlrabi.
Yes.
Which is in the cabbage family,
mm-hmm.
and it translates to turnip cabbage and looks very similar to a turnip.
Do you remember how you've eaten it?
Boiled.
Okay.
With a little butter, salt, and pepper.
Okay.
Ever heard of that one, Mimal?
Nope.
Kohlrabi?
Nope.
How about this one? This I've never heard of, but it sounds familiar. Celeriac, sometimes called stump-rooted celery, and looks similar to a turnip as well.
I've had that.
Can be roasted, stewed, blanched, or even mashed.
Makes a good soup.
Yeah, and the leaves are used as a garnish.
Mm.
You've had that one?
I haven't had their leaves, but yes, I eat celeriac often.
Okay. How about a sunchoke? Anyone up for a sunchoke?
I feel like I've had one.
How about you, Mimal?
I was about to make a bad joke.
No. No.
You don't want to make a bad joke?
No.
Okay. Well, they're often referred to as a Jerusalem artichoke.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
They're
although
smaller,
they have,
right?
They have no association with Jerusalem or neither any relation to artichokes.
Oh.
Although that's what they're called. They resemble a garden sunflower and belong to the same plant group. And they're native to our continent, North America.
Okay.
They're used as an alternative for potatoes, but also can be fermented for use in alcoholic beverages.
I did not know that.
Never heard of it. So how about this one? Here's one I'm not too familiar with. It's called a maniok. Ever hear of that, Mimal?
Well, Teresa? I have
a maniac.
I've heard of
exactly.
a maniac.
I was exactly thinking, like, I have know some people that are maniacs, but
yeah.
No.
I've run into a maniac or two, but not a maniok. Widely grown across Africa and Asia. And there are two main varieties, one being sweet in flavor, the other is bitter. And similar, again, to a root potato. Then there are yard-long beans, literally beans that are a yard long. I've never seen such a creature.
No, that'd be exciting.
They're also known as the asparagus beans, Chinese long beans, or snake beans, and the pods will grow in pairs. They're native to Asia, China, Africa, South America, and can be used the same way as green beans, and they can be eaten fresh or cooked in a variety of dishes.
Yum.
All right, Manuel, this one might be for you, my friend. It's called a Napolis.
I'm not Roman, too.
But this is native to Mexico.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay.
They must be prepared before eating by cleaning and removing the spines and sliced as required.
Oh, nopales.
Oh, I said it wrong. I should have. Here, look. Here's a picture.
Yeah, see? Nopal.
Oh, I said it wrong.
I was like a Napoli.
Well,
like,
I'm thinking
I've
Italy,
thinking,
right? I'm thinking Italy.
I've been thinking ice cream. I'm like, no, it's no ice cream.
Napolis.
Now I am. Nopal.
Nopali.
Yes.
Okay, there you go. Okay.
Yes.
You're familiar with that.
I love those.
And how do you eat those?
I grill it.
Okay.
Yeah, they're delicious.
Okay.
Can you get them here?
Yeah. You can get it here. They're really good.
Okay. Where do you get them?
Across the street. Okay. Or even sometimes in Hannaford or Adams.
Okay.
Yeah.
Adams has a wide variety of interesting veggies.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
And really good fresh vegetables.
Then there is, we all know sprouts. This is Brusselberry sprouts. Native to Britain. They're reddish purple in color, have a sweeter, milder taste than the standard sprout.
Wow. Hmm.
And they look like a little Brussels sprout, actually. Here they are. See?
Oh, yeah.
Hmm? All right, Mimal, I may mess this name up, but you can help me with this. Jicama?
Jicama.
Oh, yes. Oh, wow.
Jicama. I messed that one up again.
Oh, my God.
Okay, that, again, originates in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also grown in warm climates like Central America, the Caribbean, the Andes, and Southern Asia.
Yes.
Similar to a turnip, but tastes like...
Very delicious. I love it.
They say it tastes similar to an apple.
Yes.
I was going to say that it feels very light and doesn't have a lot of flavor to me.
It's very watery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jicama?
Jicama, yeah.
Jicama, okay, yeah.
So in Mexico, we use it cold as it is, like a... Just chop it a little bit, put lemon or lime and a little chili powder and goes to inside. But even in South Asia, they use it for a salad. So they use salad of jicamas. Okay. Yeah.
So you don't cook it?
No.
Yeah.
It's Israel.
So pardon me for my mispronunciations on those two. Okay. I should have handed those to you. I should have known better.
I will do the same if there is another language.
Hikama. Hikama. Okay. Anyway, there you have some interesting veggies. Anything else? Is there another interesting out there vegetable that we don't know too much about, Teresa?
Well, there was one. It's not that exciting, but it made me think of it. What is it? I can't think of the name of it.
You sure you thought of it?
You make, it's an alternative to make, using like a potato. A lot of restaurants use it. Is it like, I can't think of it. It doesn't matter, I guess.
Similar to a potato.
But, yeah. No, I can't. I mean, I tend to eat pretty boring vegetables. So it's a good reminder, you sharing that list, to spice it up with some other things. I'm like a broccoli, cauliflower, sweet potato girl.
I love sweet potatoes and yams.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is there a vegetable? I can think of one, and maybe you guys can too. Growing up that you really disliked that you love now? I have one.
I don't think I disliked any vegetables.
Yeah, me neither.
You either? Mm-mm. Well, no. You know what I absolutely disliked was Brussels sprouts, but I love them now. There's so many interesting ways you can prepare them.
Brussels sprouts are that one vegetable that can be ill-prepared and ruin it for a lot of people. But if you make them the right way, like a lot of people will boil them and it's not the best. Mm-mm. I mean, if you add a lot of butter and salt, yeah, you can eat it that way, but they're so much better when you roast them. And
yeah, I love them roasted with a little spicy mustard.
Ooh.
Or grainy type mustard. Yeah. You know, like that. Yeah.
I do have a vegetable that I never tried. And even though I grew a couple of those ones over the past years, and I don't know how to eat it, which is okra.
Okra. Okay.
I have no idea.
I haven't had too much okra in my day. Have you, Teresa?
I have had it, yes. I mean, it's often an addition to like a soup or a stew. Right, like gumbo, you put it in something like that, you know, that has rice and other vegetables. If you eat meat, you add it in there. That's typically how I've had it.
Okay. Deep fried too, I hear that.
Oh yeah, you can do that too.
I haven't tried it. So I ate it as it was raw, cut it out from the garden, and it was really fiber. I don't think this is the right way to eat it.
It's an interesting vegetable because it can get really slimy when you cook it.
Yeah.
So I'm not an expert when it comes to preparing it, but I have put it in different dishes like stews and things like that.
And here's a vegetable I loved as a kid and everyone disliked. And they were like, wow, you like that? And that's lima beans. And nobody likes lima beans.
No. They're so big and beany.
Cook them and soften them up a little bit.
I do like those.
With a little butter.
And there is another vegetable that I like. It's the root beets.
Oh, beets, sure.
When I was a kid, I loved eating. And now that I'm still an adult, I still love it.
You mean you're still a kid? You still like them?
Hey, we have a parade going by. What is
parade.
This going on, Teresa? We have a parade going by the studio. What is this all about?
Food Workers
Excluded
March.
Food Workers Fund.
Oh, wow. Look at them. They're holding flags, though. Yeah. Look at the flags.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
You know, through the pandemic, we have a lot of funds that were embraced to the workers, regular workers. But there were some workers that were excluded when they said, oh, you are primary workers, so for that reason you are not able to access to those.
Oh.
And this is the people marching.
And there's a color very dominant, red, among the folks in this parade.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Red and black.
Yeah, look at them go. Nice. Well, congratulations on that.
Let me read one of the signs.
Yeah, I'm trying to
take action.
Exclude no more.
For excluded workers. Yes.
Yeah, look at them go. Nice. Even some youngsters, people on bikes.
Yeah.
Some elderly people with canes. Everyone's out there.
Everybody. Phil Lerner, the representative.
Yeah. Legislator, right?
Legislator, yes.
Anyway, all right, Teresa, I guess we're ready to roll here.
Well, it's good to chat with you fellas, as always.
We are really late today, but since you didn't have a guest.
Yeah, it's cool.
Teresa,
all right, here we go.
Eat your vegetables.